This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today is Edgar Winner. This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. During the summer of 2018, I had the opportunity to visit by phone with legendary rock and roll singer, multi-instrumentalist, and songwriter Edgar Winner, who was about to appear at the Crown Guitar Festival and Workshop in Big Fork, Montana. Our conversation begins here with Edgar's response to my welcoming him to Musicians Spotlight.
Well, thank you, John. Are you ready to rock and roll? That's the question.
I am definitely ready to rock and roll. And after I just got amped up. That was like sending a surge of electricity right through your interviewer today. First of all, I'm sure Edgar's music and his name is going to be very familiar to our listeners through a career that now spans close to 50 years, if not over 50 years. And what I like to call a multi-instrumentalist, not many instruments, I don't think.
That I am.
Yeah, not many that you have not covered, including keyboards, sax, percussion, vocals. Many albums with the Edgar Winner Group and other incarnations, collaborations, of course, with his also legendary brother, Johnny. And a couple of truly iconic music classics with rock music classics with Frankenstein and Free Ride and many, many others. I guess the first question, Edgar, just to touch, before I can get any deeper than that, where are you calling from today?
Beverly Hills.
Beverly Hills.
I'm from Texas originally, moved to New York right out of high school. My wife, Monique, and I lived there 20-plus years and then moved out here to California. So I'm a New York Texan living in Beverly Hills.
Great. Tell me a little bit about Beaumont, Texas, because it's a town that's come across my radar a number of times. I've never been there. Can you maybe just tell us a little bit about the town, the landscape, kind of the feel, the taste of things, some of your earlier memories?
It's interesting in that I had no appreciation of how great the music scene there was. But it's in southeast Texas. It's a lot like, subtropical, like Florida. it's right on the Louisiana line. And so, of course, the liquor laws being 18 in Louisiana as opposed to 21 in Texas, there was a whole slew of clubs just across the line there. So you had the, you know, the French, Cajun, all the New Orleans, you know, Dr. John style of music that they call Zydeco now.
Mm-hmm.
Also close to the Mexican border, so you had all of these hot Latin rhythm players. You had, like, real cowboys singing real country music, real blues guys, authentic. And, of course, North Texas, which is a great music school, particularly for jazz and improvisation.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So you had, like, this infusion of all of these really well-schooled intellectual players as well. So, you know, when I went up to New York, I thought, oh, wow, it's just the greatest musicians in the world. But there turned out to be nothing really like a characteristic New York sound. You know, they were great musicians, but it was sort of like the difference between gumbo and chicken soup, you know. And I ended up going back to Texas when I formed my first band, White Trash, was just sort of a reunion of the guys that I played, you know, together with back in high school. So, you know, my dad played guitar and banjo, played alto sax in a swing band in his youth. My mother played classical piano, beautiful classical piano. My granddad played fiddle, violin. Great-grandfather played trumpet. So music was just sort of like a household recreational thing. I thought everybody played music just like you learned to read and write and add and subtract. And then we started to try to put together bands with our friends around the neighborhood. What, your daddy didn't show you no chords? What's the deal, you know? Oh, this is a special thing. You know, so, it was a great place to grow up in that Texas blues style, you know, Southern heritage lives on in my heart.
I love hearing all that because it really makes sense and it really connects. You know, when I listen to your music and it crosses so many genres and is so unique in unto itself, what would have brought Edgar Winter's music into the world? Well, you just listed off of much all the influences.
Yeah, a few things. I'll mention one more. Someone once asked me in an interview what was my first memory of music, and I thought, wow, what a great question. I had never really stopped to think about it, and I cast my mind back, and surprisingly, the first time I remember hearing music was being nestled in my mother's lap, and I heard this beautiful music just flowing over me, and I remember, I was too young to talk. I didn't know words yet, but I remember peeking up between her hands and seeing these hands performing these beautiful undulating movements, and then I slowly became aware, wow, there's a correlation between the motion of these hands and this music. And I was just entranced. Just that feeling of love and security and connection, you know, connectedness to something. The thing about music that I love is it takes you out of yourself when you're playing and whatever whatever cares or problems that might, you know, be in daily life, they just all slip away into the background, and you're totally immersed in that moment. And I think that that's true of the audience as well when you're listening to music. When you're really in that zone, there's nothing like that feeling, and you're sharing that moment with the audience. That's what does it for me.
Yeah.
This is John Floridis, and you're listening to Musicians Spotlight and my phone conversation with Edgar Winter. We pick up the interview with Edgar explaining the deep connection with his brother, the late Johnny Winter.
Johnny and I started playing ukuleles when I was 4 years old. My mother tells me we went on this radio show called the Uncle Willie Show. I remember it when I was six, but she claims that we actually went on there when I was four. Then Johnny graduated to guitar and became apparent he was going to be the guitar player in the family. So I said, well, I'll just play everything else. So I played bass for a while and then played drums, even before I was a teenager. And then electric pianos came out and there started to be like organ. You know, it was a way of amplifying the keyboard. You know, I remember trying to play those upright pianos, just beating my hands bloody, you know, trying to put a microphone in one of those that always beat back. But then my dad, as I played alto sax in a swing band in his youth, and I found his old alto sax up in the attic, and that's when I got fascinated with jazz, both playing a lot of instruments and playing a lot of different styles. That's very important to me. I never had any particular desire to become famous. My brother Johnny, he was the one with the dream and the ambition. And ever since I can remember, he read all the magazines and watched Band Stand and Johnny Cool Daddy Winter with the shades and the girls and the guitar and all of that. And I was like the weird kid that played all the instruments. And it was great because Johnny loved the spotlight and I enjoyed listening to the songs and working out the arrangements and showing everybody what to play. But were it not for Johnny, you know, I would never be where I am today. And he's my all-time musical hero. As a matter of fact, I'm getting ready to embark on a tribute album, you know, for Johnny. It's been now 4 years, and you know, he may have departed this physical plane, but his spirit and his music will live on in my heart forever.
Well, his music will certainly live on in the hearts and minds and souls of many people as well as yours. I can certainly attest to something must have happened early on because in doing research for this interview, I came across a photograph on the internet of the two of you as toddlers with the ukuleles. So somewhere there's photographic evidence that did occur.
Absolutely.
So I can attest to that.
John, I wouldn't make something
to dance.
And you can sit there and groove.
No, baby, if you wanna move.
Stand up and give it everything you got. Give it everything you got. Whether you can or not.
Go on
and give it everything you got. No use holding back. Go ahead and get me out. You ain't lived till you tried it. Put your whole body inside it.
John Florida speaking with Edgar Winter here today. I wanted to ask a little bit, I'm going to get a little music geeked out on Frankenstein, because I think that there's really an incredible uniqueness to that piece of music. And I can't really think of anything that's quite like it. And it was a hit and has an appeal.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, and I think it has an appeal beyond those of us of a certain age. It is very much from that time, but it's not locked into that time.
Well, I've told the story many times, but it's interesting how the song came about, because when you listen to it, it sounds sort of like a concept, and that, like, there must have been some idea behind it. But in actuality, I wrote the riff just in almost a throwaway spare moment. I was playing with my brother Johnny. This was years before the song was recorded, maybe 68 or 69, something like that. And I thought, well, I said, that's a cool bluesy riff, you know, the blues trio, we can play that. And then I played, Hammond B3 and alto sax, and we had two drum sets on stage, and I did a dual drum solo with Johnny's drummer, Red Turner. So it was basically just an instrumental. We called it the double drum song, you know, because of the drum solo aspect of it. And, you know, we played it all over the world. We played a version of that at Woodstock. We played it at Albert Hall in London, and promptly forgot all about it until the synthesizer came along. And when I got the idea of putting the strap on the keyboard, I said, well, now we need a vehicle. I need some kind of a song to feature this instrument. And I said, I'll bet that old double drum song, I'll bet that riff would sound really cool with that subsonic pulsing synth bottom. So we worked up a version of it, and it was just incredible. It was just beyond any expectation. I'll never forget the first night I walked on stage with the keyboard around my neck. I mean, the crowd just, it was like one of those rock and roll moments. And I think we're on to something here. But we never had any intention of recording that song. What happened with it was, as I would create or design a new sound, back then, the sounds, you had to use patch cords and wave synthesis, and it was like, as I would create a new sound, and I would write a different section, you know, to display or accommodate that sound, and it thing just kept getting longer, and it was like 15 or 20 minutes long, and, you know, way too, back then, recording, you know, 3 minutes. You know, 3 minute song. So at the end of the session, back then the cardinal rule is tape is always rolling. So we just accidentally had two or three of these long 15 or 20 minute versions of it. And I was talking to Rick Derringer about it, and he said, maybe we could edit that into something usable. And I thought, well, that's kind of crazy. I like crazy ideas. So it was a great excuse to get even more blasted than usual and have a big end of the project editing party. So the deal was, is back in those days, to edit something, you had to physically cut the master tape with a razor blade.
Oh, I've done some editing on tape, razor blade. Yeah,
and it's sort of like cutting a diamond. If you mess it up, you know, it's gone. So at one point, remember, we were looking, it was like draped over the backs of chairs and on the console and on the couch, and we were scratching our heads, trying to figure out how to put the thing back together, and Chuck Ruff, the drummer, mumbled the immortal words, wow, man, it's like Frankenstein, you know, drawing the analogy of an arm here and a leg there and, you know, pacing the thing back together. So, the monster was born!
We'll be right back.
whenever people ask me if I have any advice, people that are young, that are starting out, and that advice is to play the music that you truly love, the music that's just fun. And that was the thing about Frankenstein, was that, you know, it was Free Ride was more calculated. We really worked on it. And we thought, oh, this is a song with the commercial potential and everything. Frankenstein was just the thing that we were doing just for, you know, surely for our own enjoyment and the fun of it. So it has all of the elements that that sort of reflect who I am as a musician, and I think it's very telling that that would become the hit and the, you know, open the door for everything that followed.
This is John Floridis. I'm speaking today with Edgar Winter, calling us by phone from Beverly Hills. Edgar, you mentioned how much fun you had putting your classic tunes together, how much fun you're obviously still having performing music live. Beyond music, what are you doing for fun?
Well, the most important thing in my life is my wife, Monique, our relationship. I love what's going on in a spiritual, you know, the spiritual evolution of what is occurring with consciousness now. I'm very interested in that. I love writing poetry now. And that's almost more fun than writing, you know, having written songs for so many years. When I'd find myself out on the road, I would sit down and write a poem to Monique. And then I started to look over, like, I had literally hundreds of these. And it was just such a liberating feeling to be able to abandon that formulaic construction of the way you write a pop song, where verse,
sure,
chorus, bridge, out, and the subject matter is limited as well. Poetry, it's just so liberating. And so Monique said, "Wow, you've got enough for a book here." So I said, "Yeah, we could call it The Songs That Never Were, because a lot of them." Some of them are definitely poems, but some of them are song-like. You know, that's basically, I just love to, you know, when I'm not playing, I love, you know, spending time with Monique and sharing that relationship and just the, you know, the joy of living. You know, that's you know, every day is like a miracle to me. I'm just thankful to be here and be able to do what I most love and see people out there rocking and having a great time.
No.
So what could be better?
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today has been Edgar Winter. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org, as well as through our own website, musicianspotlight.org. You can also find us online on Facebook and on Twitter. Our program is available as a podcast from those websites as well as through iTunes. Special thanks to the Crown Guitar Festival and Workshop for this interview. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.